Welcome to the JRD Hogcast, your Razorback podcast for fans by fans. Here's your host, Dylan Lee, joined, as always, with his co-host, Jordan Russell, and their producer, Luke Griggs.
What's going on, Jordan?
Just another day in paradise. How was your day off, sir?
Always good, always good.
Spend time with fam.
Yep.
Teach some more woo-pig calls to the little one.
As much as I can, yeah.
I feel like you put him through a test every day.
Yeah.
Like kind of a flashcard thing.
Oh, we gotta, you know, get a little bit better, but that's all right.
Is it unacceptable, though?
I will. I'm so over that word. I doubt I'll ever use it again. So. But oh man, how do we go into these anymore? So
there is a football game this weekend.
There is a football game this weekend. Surprise, surprise! It's 11 a.m. kick. Also, surprise, we're favored.
I mean, are we
technically?
By the numbers, I guess we are.
All right, just real quick, let's get it over with. How many yards does Ty Story throw against us?
Man, that's interesting. I'm going to say...
I feel like we got probably...
284.
Okay, 250 was the one I was sitting on right there, was just 250. Maybe that could be the over-under kind of deal. I will probably take the over of 250. You can tell us what you think at JRD Hogcast. Man, plug away right now, real quick.
Right off the bat.
2 minutes into it. Jeez. Okay.
I was thinking when you said that, though, I was like, well, they're going to get a lot of rushing yards, which is going to open up play action, which is what Ty was always, it was always a strong suit. So he might not even need to throw that much.
Yeah. Who knows?
Let me ask you this, Dylan. Do we win?
Heart says yes. Brain says no.
Oh, you did that again.
Yeah.
I already asked you that, didn't I?
Yeah.
That was the last episode.
Yeah.
What is a win? I mean, at this point, it's got to be literally a win.
Seeing the young kids right out the gate.
Thank you for saying that. How quick does KJ need to be in to make you happy?
Oh, that's a tough one because, I mean, John Stephen Jones is still a baller, but KJ Jefferson's the future.
There it is.
And just with how these press conferences are torture, there's no other way of putting it. If you're watching them, especially the last one, just pure torture. I feel for the media that's in those rooms because if you ask a question, you aren't going to get a straight answer. So much dodging.
This is me dodging.
Yeah.
Dodging what you're saying.
I see all of the dodging happening right now against me.
Was he a stunt man for the Matrix?
It's brutal. And he brought up the fact that he, you know, KJ Jefferson and John Stephen Jones will both get action. And like, I'm like, okay, cool. What does that mean in your head, Chad?
Right.
Does that mean John Stephen Jones gets a drive and KJ gets a play? Are we doing a Wildcat thing? Because, I mean... apparently, he can't run this offense unless you simplify it.
Right.
So.
Man, that was a good face. That was such a baby face. Touche. That was good. I caught that. I hope the listeners picked up what I just saw a little bit. Because apparently, he's not smart enough.
Yeah, had to channel a little Adam Sandler there.
If he scores a touchdown, KJ, especially via run, it's because Chad simplified it.
Yeah.
Otherwise, those touchdowns don't come.
Yeah, you got to simplify it so that they can score in four plays. it's just, come on. What do you want from us individuals here? What do you want from us people? I mean, this is what we have. We have this. We're going to talk some basketball because we're there. We do have some news, but I don't know if we're going to share that because it's already kind of a given and, you know, we're going to be able to cover some more sports, and we're going to venture out, and we have the opportunity to do that, so we're going to do that.
Yep. That's good news, but we'll handle it professionally.
Yep.
And but you didn't answer my question.
I'm in a dodgy mood, so here.
Yeah, Good Lord, it's morphing in.
So good for me would be him start and play the whole game.
Well, we obviously know that won't happen.
That won't happen. What we're gonna see is a half and a half.
God, don't. That's me. If that happens, I'm gonna be irritated. Like, what's the point?
Yep. We're gonna see a half and a half, and it's premeditated, and he won't differ from it. He's proven that. He proved that last year. He's proven it this year. Like, he goes in with a mindset. It was blatantly obvious with the Cole Kelly and Ty Story stuff when he had no idea what he was gonna do. So he said, "Well, there's two halves to the game, so they've got two quarterbacks." Math.
What if John Stephen Jones gets us into a slump? We're down 10 points, two scores, and it's clear he's struggling. And this is, I have no idea it's going to happen. I actually personally think it won't, but if it happens and they go up and, you know, John Stephen either kills a drive, turnover, whatever, and then it's 13-0. Does he put John Stephen back in and let it become a deeper hole and then put KJ in? Or, because I still think we could have come back and beat Mississippi State if he'd have pulled Hicks earlier.
Yeah.
So
momentum's big, man.
You get what I'm saying? I mean, if we're down two scores, you put that, as he always says, spark. You put that spark in the game, right?
Yeah, but really you want to have that. Here's the deal. I don't know if you knew this, but we were told Chad Morris is an offensive guy, all right? So you want that spark.
Guru.
You want that spark as soon as you start the game.
Do you, though? I mean, well, it makes it for good TV.
Typically. So, I mean, no one said the order that he had to start him or play him. KJ Jefferson, then John Stephen Jones. Who knows?
I mean, depth chart kind of says the order.
Yeah, whatever. You're a head coach. You can make those decisions.
I know, right? Has Tua even been deemed playable?
He's ruled out.
What?
Yeah,
what?
He's not playing against LSU. I was going to save that towards the pick'ems, but yeah.
Oh, well, it was a good point because up until, I guess, today, decision was made.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, why does Chad have to make his decisions on freaking Monday when it's an obvious one, but then he, whatever. I mean,
it's pretty blatant that he makes his decisions on, like, Saturday night.
Yeah. At roughly 20 minutes into a game that he is coaching.
It's so bad.
Defense, I mean, they're going to get ripped up on the ground, right?
Yeah. I mean, really going into this, everything set aside, not being funny, because that's unfortunately what I have to go back to, being very facetious, because that's how this season is, and that's how I'm going to cope with it, because I don't drink. We've already mentioned that multiple times. So going into this game, I'm sitting here thinking the plan should be a simplified playbook if you're getting these two young guys going, whatever that means, and you just feed Boyd, because a team like this, you should beat on the shoulders of Rakeem Boyd alone. There should be but ultimately what you're going to want to do, especially with the season being gone, you're going to want to get those looks and see how the guys do, so.
Which is why,
ultimately,
KJ should start.
Yeah, ultimately, winning at this point doesn't matter, as terrible as that sound, because you just need to get the reps and get the in-game looks, because there's plenty of guys that look completely different when, I was going to say when the lights turn on, but that doesn't matter on 11 o'clock kick, so there's something completely different after you run through the A and you're on that field. You got plenty of gamers that, you know, step it up a notch that don't look like they do in practice, and I bet Matt Jones is one of those guys. So.
Yeah, probably. O'Grady, maybe, even.
We don't know on that one, do we?
Yeah, no one has a clue. Do you think if we drop this, it's over?
Oh, if we lose to Western Kentucky, he's fire kind of deal?
Mm-hmm.
God, I feel like at this point, you if you're Juracek, you've had too many opportunities at this point. At this point, you're either trying to put your ducks in a row and trying to get your, you know, search kind of started, because it should already be known. This game shouldn't weigh anything on your decision, honestly. But there is also the financial side of things, because you've heard a lot of folks that say they want to just throw the book at whoever and go get somebody, right?
Right.
And that means you're going to have to pay the buyout on Morris, who knows, you know, year two.
Sitting around 10.
$10 million. We're going to have to go buy out a coach that's probably in it. One of my guys, PJ Fleck, who's, you know, re-upped a extension.
We'll get
there
to him in a little bit.
You get an extension on it. So that's, a, you know, you got these guys that are in their current contract. So you're going to have to buy out of that contract. And then, you know, you have so many variables on that side. But ultimately, if we're going on the money side, you can't argue the loss in revenue when the seats aren't full. So don't know what that number is. Don't know what that number is, but I heard it was on the way around like $4 million a game.
That we're losing?
Yeah. Strictly, you know, on that one.
Yeah, yeah.
But,
yeah.
Again.
I mean, but that number's probably embellished a little bit right off top just because of the north end zone, right? Like,
I mean, we're going to be taking a loss because of the north end zone for a while. So.
Until something gets put on the field.
I mean, ultimately, and it kind of sounds terrible, but there might be a handful more people at this game than there was at the basketball game.
Yeah.
There was 17,000 at the basketball game. And I'm feeling like 20 is probably a realistic number.
We'll get to that. I got a little bit more here. But are you talking about 20 is a realistic number for the football?
Yeah, for the football.
Oh, yeah. So that's, yeah, absolutely. That's probably, God. Yeah, I think you could be right. I mean, the other side of that, though, is it could be more than we've seen all year because of the KJ Jefferson stuff.
Yeah.
So you're kind of in a catch 22 there, like.
Well, and you
him
also
and John Stephen.
You also have the idea of Ty Story. You might have the whole freaking city of Charleston come up, you know.
Right.
You really.
Good God, it shouldn't be because of that. But
here's the deal, too, and we going back to the great debate, which isn't the great debate anymore, with the whole Little Rock and Fayetteville deal. Little Rock's getting all the ammunition in the world right now, you know. Like,
we would be going, right?
Yeah.
If it were Little Rock, we would be there. Like, that's what the South Arkansas folks are saying.
Yeah. You know, it's going to be something along those lines of they can't fill it up in Fayetteville. And they might get close to filling up in War Memorial. But keep in mind the capacity of War Memorial. So, and they get one game.
Right.
It's.
I digress.
It's just one of those deals where. It makes me sick because this isn't an argument right now. If you expect fans to actually sit in those seats, then, I mean, this is the same as booing. Like,
it really is.
I
actually a little bit louder.
I've actually kind of been on the train where I've never understood booing. I don't do it no matter what. Good times, bad times, all that stuff. I've sat in stadiums where our guys are getting booed. I've had booing done right next to me. I've seen all of that firsthand. But I'm at the point now where it's like, it doesn't bother me if you do it. That's obviously, you know, your choice. You can absolutely do that being a grown person. And I don't think it's actually a bad look anymore in the circumstances sometimes.
It's like I've said before.
It's got to be understand that you're not booing the kids. It's more or less
absolutely
the decisions. And the boos are being directed towards the, you know, staff and the folks that continue to allow this. Because I feel like the players are being put in terrible situations.
And I was going to ask you this, and I've intentionally held this out of our daily conversations. But how did you feel about his opening statements Monday's press conference about the fans? Saying, wanted to thank our fans, they're always electric, blah, blah, blah. Was that a little bit of a shot? Because clearly, it was plain as day. No one was there.
Well, I mean, he's so oblivious to anything. I think it's just a cookie-cutter deal. I honestly don't think he understood what was going on. Like, in order for something to get through to his head, it either has to be in a completely empty stadium or, heck, I would love to see the fan base, like, as soon as they introduced him or something, people turned around. Something just really passive-aggressive, kind of, you know, strike-ish or protest-like for the ones that are there. You know, when they're doing the
terrible idea.
When they're doing the little introductions and they say your head coach, Chad Morris, if the whole, you know, 200 that are there turn around. I'm sorry. Again, back to the facetiousness.
Well, you're right. That is where it's at. But that's an intriguing thought there. But obviously that we'd have to get some kind of Twitter momentum going for that one. But
if Cannon can't get something going, we sure as heck can't.
Yeah, Cannon can't even get people to the stadium. And, you know, I really would be going if I could every opportunity. I mean, I really would. That's not me saying I don't see what's happening, but that's, you know, our good portion of the Hoggets are making it every Saturday that it's a home game. And, you know, I shout out to them, and I think that's what it should be. But it does send a message when people aren't going. It's not because we're not supporting the Hogs. We don't support the staff. And Juracek's in a real tough spot right now because of the financial issues that come with firing him. And, you know, the great Paul Feinbaum seems to think that he's gone at the end of the season.
A lot of folks
personally
are thinking that.
I don't think that because I feel like the opportunity to get it, like you mentioned on the last show, is, you know, get rid of him, promote somebody from within for the time being as interim. And that gives you a great opportunity to organize a search committee and you can find a guy.
Yeah, I mean, the writing's on the wall for USC, it seems like, in terms of their head coach. Florida State's already made that, and that's two very prestigious universities, no matter how you look at it. So those are guys that you're going to have to compete. They're still Power 5 conferences. They still have a legacy. They still have plenty of alum to back them. I mean, they're not slouch programs. Florida State's probably in a rougher spot just because they kind of keep getting into a cycle of poor coaches now.
And there's more schools to compete with them, too.
Mm-hmm.
They're obviously better schools than on paper than Arkansas. And the producer brought up something interesting the other day on our drive back to the house. A lot of people feel like John Stephen Jones was named because Jerry Jones is, you better start my grandson. But Luke brought something up that I thought was very interesting. I don't remember if he said he heard this or if this was a thought out of his own head. But is him starting John Stephen Jones, Morris starting him, kind of like a nod, like, hey, buddy, I'm starting your boy. You want to help me keep my job?
This is an attempt to save his job.
But if you think about it, that makes more sense to me than Jerry saying, start my kid, my grandkid.
Yeah, I mean,
Gary doesn't give a about that, in my opinion. So
not at this point. I mean,
yeah. So I'm like, hey, that could be something right there. You're right. Like, get the name on the back of the jersey out there. And you know, John Stephen Jones comes out, no matter what network we're on, there's going to be a good 5-minute talk on him and where he came from.
Mm-hmm.
So it's interesting. Whether or not it's true is one thing, but it is. I feel like that perspective is more likely than the other one.
Yeah, I don't think he's getting strong-armed on this. I think he's ultimately right now, just with how he is and how he's talking, he's grasping for straws. And that should tell you something as a head coach. He doesn't have answers and he doesn't have solutions. He doesn't know why this happened. But, you know, look in the mirror and you can see why. I mean, this is a you problem, Chad. It strictly is. You had all the power in the world after week 3 to adjust this, and there still hasn't been any.
And the recruits are seeing this. Recruits' families are seeing this. As ugly as it is on the Twitter, their recruits are seeing this, and families are seeing this, and how the fans are reacting. And with that, hit that button.
Twitter dirt.
At no point as an Arkansas fan should you ever root for the opposing team. Dylan, if you root for the opposing team at any point when you are a Arkansas fan, are you an Arkansas fan?
Absolutely not.
So you pretty much lose your card, and not that this is some kind of swagger thing you carry around at this point, but, you know, getting on people's butts on the Twitter about this and that and the other, what you feel, what you don't feel, what you think's the situation going on the Hill, what you think's not, so on and so forth. You do not root for Western Kentucky to see Chad Morris fired.
Yeah, you sure as heck probably don't even make that a talking point on local radio, do you? Yeah.
No, you don't.
Question of the day for some local draft time, morning draft time sports. Gross.
So does that mean there's an opening from the 6 to 9 slot coming up soon that we can jump on?
Probably.
No, that is, and that's coming from a non-fan as it is, so yeah. That makes sense. But I saw that, been seeing that kind of a lot today especially, and I don't get it. You know, you can have your I have a little bit of an SEC bias when it comes to bowl season. You know, I do root for the SEC. I am an SEC fan. I know some people don't agree with that, and that's fine. But I feel like something that all Razorback fans can get behind is you do not root for another team when they're playing against the Hogs for anything. That's my Twitter dirt.
I mean, ultimately, going back to what you're saying and what I, you know, the morning sports show, they put out their question of the day, and it was, who are you rooting for? 18% out of 1,000 that answered, 18% said Western Kentucky.
That a boy, you 82%ers.
Uh-uh. There was a third one in there that said, whatever happens, happens, and that's 28%. So, ooh. Yeah. Only 54% of people hit that button that said Arkansas. Now, here's the deal, and I love the story that going back to does Chad get fired, and it's like that same show referred to Ty's story as a mercenary and that he can be the mercenary for change, saying that if he, you know, helps the Hilltoppers, you know, come in and beat us, that he could get his former head coach fired.
That was on the same show?
That was on the same show, yeah.
Man. See, that's where we're at, man. Anything's a story right now.
Yeah, absolutely.
That is stupid.
Yep.
I don't understand. But anyway, haven't had Twitter dirt in a while, and frankly...
there's been plenty. It just, there ain't a shovel big enough.
Well, that and... a whole lot of it I've agreed with for the most part. I haven't really disagreed. That was the first one in a while. But on a little bit of good news, today is the 4-year anniversary of
4th and 25.
That's right. And we will always have that no matter how bad the day is.
Yeah.
As the way it's been going, we need that to just be a daily anniversary. Just keep replaying that clip over and over.
God bless the Henry family.
I know. They're going to continue to be pulling us out of this hole for the next 3 years. So shout out to them for sure. And do you have any more Razorback football talk you feel necessary to touch on before we
not right on? Now let's get into it. Let's change it up because we got some more sports.
We're gonna fire it up.
We're definitely gonna get fired up
because the Must Bus is looking good.
I mean, we are definitely getting ahead of ourselves. It is one game, but it was an exciting one. I don't care who you were playing. It was back to being electric inside the bud.
And we had, like you said, 17,274 people in Bud Walton Arena against Rice on a Tuesday night.
Yep.
And that is the largest home opener crowd in over 20 years. I think 94, if I remember what that stat said correctly. But that's on a Tuesday night game. If that was Saturday, I'd be like, man, that's really good. But this was Tuesday, which is why I'm like, damn.
Yeah.
Do some Razorback fans not need some kind of rehab right now?
I mean, we said it from our own handle. It was exactly what Razorback fans needed, was the start of it. And Eric Musselman knows what he's doing, man.
He does.
We got a dude. I was definitely on the fence. I am one game into it, so, you know, whatever. We definitely got a guy, though. It is so amazing to see him going crazy off of a run into a timeout and getting the crowd hyped. When do you see coaches do that?
I honestly...
I'm not even talking about the last guy. Like, it's... it's just impressive to see overall in general. Like,
I honestly can't think of a time that I have seen a coach do it quite like that.
Right.
That was kind of like, yeah, you've seen some coaches standing in their box, kind of turn around and do a little, you know, waving their arms up like, come on. But our little buddy, Musselman, jumped out to like the free throw area and was, I think he almost took off sprinting towards the student section. Well, shout out to the student section. That's the first time y'all been able to get rowdy in a while, and you did really well in that. And dude's face was red. I think he even kind of lifted his neck up and looked at the sky a little bit, just getting freaking juiced.
Yep.
And you love to see it. Those, I told you when we were there and was like, I looked at you like, man, that kind of got me hyped up, like ready to go out there. And can what, you imagine what that does for the team?
Yeah, and what is Rice doing? Calling a timeout right there.
Yeah.
They're trying to kill all that juice, and Musselman was just injecting it to everyone. It did not stop.
It did not stop.
It was,
I mean,
pointless at that point. You should have just kept the run going because it, there was nothing stopping it. 91-43.
They had a two-point lead at their best.
Yeah, it was their biggest lead was 2 points, and it was at the 16:57 mark.
And also something that's exciting is, and I'm sure other coaches and stuff do this, I've personally never heard this, and I feel like I know a little bit about basketball, and he has a goal of 200 passes per game.
Yeah.
And they exceeded that by 50, which in my eyes, and I believe Musselman even said it himself too, but that means the guys are enjoying it. They're enjoying moving the ball around.
Yep.
And Dylan, I don't know if I saw two Razorbacks touch each other at any point during the game unless it was going after a rebound.
It's weird.
What the hell? I think, is it spacing?
Yes.
Is weird, that how you say that?
This weird thing that they're introducing to basketball is called spacing. How about –
it's new this year.
Just the amount of stuff we will see, just the fundamentals that are into it. Out-rebounding a team that you should out-rebound. That is something that, you know, some folks might get excited about because they're seeing it first game. Don't hold on to that for too long.
No, we're not that big, unfortunately.
Yeah,
not yet. Vanover got screwed.
Yeah, two big knocks right there to us is Vanover getting denied by the NCAA, the lovely organization that it is. And
I want to say that I called that because you asked me that on this show, and I said he wouldn't. You said why, and I said because Arkansas.
Because Arkansas.
They had no good reason. They had no explanation. Just no.
Or what we were told, I mean, it was one of the stronger cases, and especially to the ones when the precedent is set, the ones that were already accepted, he had a strong case as well. Anytime you're coming back home, that should kind of lean a lot there that way,
right,
especially out of a coaching change and all that kind of stuff. He had a strong case his way. Then also we have the news that Reggie Chaney is suspended indefinitely. So that's basically all we have on that part of it.
Yeah. There was an article that said detrimental to the team, and there was an argument that said the one you read that was violating team rules.
Yeah.
I feel like those are two completely different things.
Yep.
So I guess we won't know. I mean, we won't know until we know, right? That was a guy that I was big on last year, for those of you that's been listening to us for the entirety of our tenure here. That was a guy that I was wanting in over Gafford a few times in games. He just brought more energy to the team, but that's a big blow. I mean, Chaney was a baller. He wasn't going to get you 25, 30 points a game, but he was a hell of a rebounder, hell of a defender, got up and down the court really good for his size, and as we mentioned, we don't have a lot of that. So that's where we're going to have to out-tempo teams, basically.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
And it looks like they can do it. I mean, again, they ran the floor really well. Mason Jones comes out. What did he end up with? 32 points, right? Yep.
32 points, yep.
And was 4 for 8 from the three.
Seven rebounds and 5 steals. Didn't imagine 5 steals. But one thing, and it's a little easier with your roster management to be able to cycle through and rotate like they were in terms of minutes and everything of that sort.
How good did he do?
It definitely seemed like he was keeping those guys fresh when they needed to be. It's easy to do in a game like this, and I'm very interested to see how he handles SEC play.
But he was treating those guys like pit stops. Mm-hmm. It was impressive. I mean, at one point, Joe went. He's out. The game's going. You know, he's sitting there talking to Musselman. Grabs a drink. It's like his butt touched the seat for about 5 seconds. He's like, all right, let's go. And, then, you know, that's good, though. That's good management. And what I kept saying through the entirety of this game is like, Dylan, yeah, it's Rice. You looked up their score or their record last year. They're terrible. But that's what we should do to these teams.
Yep.
And that's the biggest thing. That's kind of when we knew this year with football when it wasn't looking good, 20-21 against Portland State. Uh-oh, that's not good. We destroyed these. We went to a game last year, the Georgia Tech game, team that we should have beat in Bud Walton, and can't remember the score, but we got beat by, I think, 10 points, 9 points, somewhere in that neighborhood. And that was not a good sign. That was early in the season. That was not a good sign.
Yep. And It's just a fun – I've always liked the atmosphere in Bud Walton Arena. They do a great job, the whole staff there, and the production, the lights, all that good stuff, the fan interaction and all that kind of stuff is top-notch. And there's not a bad seat in that place from, you know, the $5 to the $50, whatever, you know. You can go out there and have some fun. Good family-sized. You know, it's – got that baseball kind of feel to it where you can go in there and have some cheap entertainment, and that kind of is where football is missing it. No matter what, they're stubborn heads because they got this ticket sold via season tickets or third party or whatever it may be. You know, they got the money, so they don't care. They're not going to do promotions. Basketball will do promotions. They want to pack the Bud. I want to see 20,000 in Bud Walton Arena. If there is any chance of that, which I definitely think there is with how this is going, I'm definitely going to be one of those 20,000. It is going to be crazy back when that thing is full.
Well, I feel like it's going to be an exciting environment, like you said, and we're going to be an exciting team.
Mm-hmm.
Musselman, we're falling into the Morris trap a little bit, but
no, I was not this excited after game one of Morris.
Right. Same, but you know, kind of juiced a little bit, but the Musselman's energy on the sideline, he was, I think Luke pointed it out to us a couple times, like he's literally punching the scorer's table a few times. It looks like he is a Diet Pepsi drinker during the game.
That apparently seems to be the only knock on this guy so far.
He drinks Diet Pepsi.
But hey, he's staying truthful to the sponsor. I'm sure if things changed around, we could get a Coke in his hand.
But, yeah, it was exciting. And I don't think I've ever been to Bud Walton with more than, I don't know, 14,000. And that one, looking around continuously, and just people were pumped the whole game. Mm-hmm. And win or lose, if we're that exciting of a team, that's going to keep happening because eventually we're going to get over the hill, and that's going to give us something to be excited about. And frankly, Musselman has the advantage of coming off of football season, and people will be going to Bud Walton for a solid 2 months, regardless of what's happening, because we want to see something good. Speaking of seeing something good, did you get to do anything that you'll never forget on your way to the game Tuesday?
Oh, when I'm going to find my seat, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Anything happen there, buddy?
Something did happen. I got to shake hands with the GOAT of college baseball coaching, Mr. Dave Van Horn.
Oh, man. come and sit down with us, put your hand down, and like, this hand right here is never going to get washed. you're going to need to elaborate, buddy. And he got to, so you one-up me, basically, is what happened, because I got to high-five the GOAT at the Justin Moore concert.
Mm-hmm.
And I figured I would have that on you for the rest of my life. And then you went up me and shake the man's hand. Do you want to talk about how pissed he looked that the camera found him?
He just wanted to enjoy some basketball and don't put him on the jumbotron. He's all business. Closest thing we got to Nick Saban.
That is our Nick Saban, and I'm fine with that because at the end of the day, that man will bring us a College World Series championship.
Oh, absolutely.
And once he does, I feel like one or two will follow.
Wow.
You heard it here first.
There's definitely a foundation for that, for sure. But going back to the game.
We're seeing recruits all the time. It's crazy. Anyway, going back to the game.
Yeah, obviously feels like we're getting ahead of ourselves, but we saw some things that we didn't see for a while. And keep in mind, I am still a big fan of Mike Anderson. This is going to be a weird deal for me. It was a weird deal when the firing happened. I've coped with it. I understand it had to happen, but being able to look at a box score and see 2 made 3-point shots against us, 8% from 3 for Rice, that's phenomenal. You didn't see that. We
were getting torn up on the arch out there.
There was defense. Daily. There was defense. And no matter who you're playing, it's one of those deals where you got to be there in order for it to actually work. And
yeah.
Years past.
Absolutely.
Years past, how many open threes did you see? Like
more than 2.
It happens in basketball. You know, stuff happens. You can't always be there, but they were there. They didn't make a single 3 in the second half. They shot 12 of them in the second half and didn't make a single one.
That's something that I'm semi-concerned with, though, in the same sense, because, I don't know, they're moving around a lot, and I was watching a lot of the fundamentals of things. I was not as much as I should, but at the same time, it was an exciting basketball game in itself, so yeah. Couldn't really look at it 100% from the X's and O's standpoint, but guys were hardly ever out of position. But I feel like once you get in, again, in the SEC play, ball movement's better because Rice was not good.
No.
But we beat them by, what do we end up beating them? Almost 50 points. So that's fine. But what concerns me is the defensive tempo that we did show. I feel like there's going to be a lot of gashing that we're going to get. But I would rather get beat with 2-pointers and 3s like we've been seeing over the past couple years. And
well, that's kind of been the standard. He's bringing that pro style in, and it's shown through, that's for sure.
Right. And one thing that we talked about, too, during the game is Mason Jones held the whole team. Mason just kind of stands out in my head. But I have never seen him – what do they play, 32 games a year? Is that what that is? Something like that. But not once did I ever see the energy that he came out with and went through the whole game with. And he put up some big points last year. This wasn't his first time to score 32 points.
No, it was a career high.
It was a career high. So he was pretty average around 25-ish, I would say. But dude was getting into it. He was getting excited. Isaiah Joe was doing his little – thing, I guess, is going to be his shooting them threes with the arrow type thing. Hopefully we don't see Jalen play the guitar too many times. I did that for you. I saw that again and I'm like, I like it. Be silly. But the point is the whole team was just, they're having a blast out there. And, you know, you could point out a time or two last year when that's happening and years past, but that team Tuesday night was feeling it. And it made you and I wonder, were they told not to do that, or was it just not fitting for the coaching style for them to do that before Musselman got here? Either way, I love it. And if any of y'all listening didn't get to see that game, you will be getting to see some exciting basketball in the future.
Yep. Go out if you can. Go to a game. Support these guys. Feel the bud. It's going to be refreshing.
It's going to be loud.
Yep. Just enjoy it. Help them out. Keep it going.
Right. But I'm just going to say it now. They're going to a Sweet 16. Just kidding. No, I'm not. I'm not saying that.
I need some SEC play.
Oh, yeah, awesome. Yeah. We need a few of those SEC games. And
I
want to
see
really
if this can sustain and how long we're not going to have Chaney.
They don't have anybody. Yeah, that's a big one. Who would you say, looking at their schedule, is the first December 29th against Indiana? Is that going to be their first test? I don't even know if Indiana is even that good.
Probably Georgia Tech again. I mean, Georgia Tech, Indiana, right before SEC play.
Right.
So, yeah.
No, no. Georgia Tech didn't really go on to have a good season last year. I don't really know. I don't know. I mean, we play A&M January 4th, and that's when the SEC starts anyway. So, we have some pretty good camaraderie-building games. It's basketball. It's not quite as obvious as football is if you're a good team. You know, if you play the teams that are on their schedule right now, you're going to destroy them in football most of the times. Basketball is a little bit different, kind of like baseball. You can't really take a school's name into consideration as much as you can. But I'm going to say probably Indiana, in my opinion.
Right. South Dakota, I mean, they've got a history of some tourney runs. Well, move on to our weekly pick'ems.
Yes, please.
All right. I'll just start it off with probably the biggest matchup. We've already mentioned some of it. We've got LSU versus Alabama. Alabama is currently a 6-point favorite. I have not seen a line adjustment since the news that Tua will not play.
Interesting. I wonder if that was maybe considered already.
Yeah, I think I think it probably was.
I'll start it off. LSU takes down the almighty Alabama.
That's where I'm at. LSU.
I'm not saying they cover. I'm saying they win.
Same. LSU. All right. That's pretty straightforward. Move over to the Big Ten. Penn State is visiting Minnesota. Penn State is a 6.5-point favorite.
Number four, Penn State. Interesting. Taking on Minnesota at Minnesota, I say your boy PJ Fleck gets it done.
I say Penn State
mainly
wins
because
this game.
Penn State's just not – they don't rise to the occasion. Maybe wrong, but I'm going Minnesota covering.
The row the boat, all that good stuff stops here. Penn State wins that game. That's more than 6.5.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say that one yet. So we'll stay in the Big Ten. Iowa visiting Wisconsin. Wisconsin is a 9.5-point favorite, and this is a weird one. It really is.
Yeah. Wisconsin's kind of digressing, if you will. Iowa's always chippy. I say Iowa covers.
Iowa covers. I will take Wisconsin on this game. Take the home. That's basically the only justification I got, and they'll just continue to run the ball with Taylor, and can't say enough about that kid.
Yeah.
And then we have this one game where Western Kentucky comes to Fayetteville and plays your Arkansas Razorbacks, who are 1.5-point favorite. I mean, come on. I'm sorry. This is the best I can do here. Yeah.
Western Kentucky,
which that obviously means a win there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm dumb. I'm really dumb. Arkansas wins. What's your lock?
You are.
Yeah.
I thought you might have some kind of something coming behind that. But
I'm just a sucker.
My lock is number 16, Kansas State, is going to Texas, and Texas is favored at 7. I'm locking it in. Kansas State covers.
Ooh, Kansas State lock. Now, that one did.
It's some Texas hate.
That one did stick out to me, but let me see where I was at with it, because one stuck out a little bit more. Still in the Big 12, Baylor visiting TCU, and Baylor is only at 2.5-point favorite.
I saw that one, too.
I'm going to take Baylor to cover that one. I feel like this is probably the most disrespected undefeated team, but they also are in the Big 12, so we shall see.
Yeah. That's a good little. That's 2 weeks in a row of you picking some good stuff here on the.
Well, I don't know. I felt like last week was a little rough in terms of matchups and everything. Next week, we'll not have an Arkansas game, so look at that, how you must.
Happiness? What?
Happiness. One thing that is happy, if you can, get out to soccer field in Fayetteville, because we got, well, is it at Fayetteville? I'm sorry, I might misspeak there, because it is the SEC tournament final. For the fourth straight year, that soccer program is there. So, got to give them a round of applause if you can get out there. Go out there, support them, do all that good stuff.
Shout out to the girls. And that, I'll look and see if I could find out where that was. I feel like that's in Georgia, too, for some reason. But anyway.
I got it here, so. Semifinals. Well, here. Anyhow, what else you got for us?
I don't have much for us today, man. We're, like you mentioned, in that weird spot with the football season. I'm really excited about what Musselman at least has previewed so far. And the biggest thing coming out this weekend is it's opening day for rifle, modern gun, deer hunting. And I will be in the woods until Sunday evening when we record.
Well, it is in Orange Beach, Alabama, the finals there. So not a bad location. I mean,
no.
Yeah, probably a fun time down there. Haven't gone to a soccer tournament. So
me neither.
Yeah. So
what do you got for us? What's your ending?
Oh boy. Let's see. What do we got for you? We've got basketball right around. You already hit on that one. I'm honestly excited to see Ty Story again, but like I said, I'm a sucker. Arkansas win, hopefully with a whole lot of KJ Jefferson. So
I can get behind that one 100%.
Yeah, absolutely. For the JRD Hogcast, I'm Dylan Lee.
I'm Jordan Russell.
Shout out to producer Luke Griggs. You can hit us up on that line, that tweet. Let's see, phone number. Give it to me. It's 479-308-8605. Twitter handle is at JRD Hogcast. JRDHawkCast.com. Until next time, and as always, woo pig suey.